Good morning. I had a quick stage direction there. I've got to introduce myself because I gather that was forgotten. So I'm Enid. I'm the lay minister here. I think most of you know me, but that's who I am, in case you were wondering. So may I speak in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, talking about Jesus as bread, I'm sure you imagine I'm going to talk about bread, knowing my passion for it. But in fact, I'm going to preach from Deuteronomy. So that's, you need to look at that passage in your Bible if you want to follow some of what I'm saying. Some time ago, I used to go on holiday for short breaks with a group of gardening enthusiasts. These holidays were great fun, but organization was not their best point. At one particularly dire hotel, at last dinner was served after the power had been restored yet again, and I was cheered to see figs on the menu. I love figs, and I was thinking, will they be served with feta cheese or balsamic and honey dressing? So I said innocently to the waitress, "How are the figs served?" "Oh, just as they come, straight from the tin," she said. My hopes of lovely fresh figs were dashed. And I think this anecdote typifies for me the way in our contemporary British society we have become really divorced from the land and from the sources of the wonderful range of foods we can enjoy. However, the ancient tribes of Israel, about whom we were reading in Deuteronomy, were certainly not separated from the source of what they ate. And having faced times of near starvation, they might be expected to be extremely grateful for times of plenty, though I'm sorry to say that wasn't always the case. The first reading this morning is from the book of Deuteronomy. This book is in essence a collection of rules and warnings and exhortations which Moses gave to the Hebrews before they entered the promised land. They were just on the verge of entering, as you may have, well, you probably know, but in case you didn't, they'd been wandering for about 40 years. They come to the promised land. It's going to be a land flowing with milk and honey to really bless them after the hardships they've endured. Now, Moses, who was their leader, knows that after 40 years of leading the people to this place, he himself will not enter the land. It seems a bit hard, but there is a reason for that, and we can talk about that later. But God had said, "You've got here, you won't go in." But Moses also knows the people's propensity for disobedience to God and for ingratitude. And I see the content of Deuteronomy as Moses' final shot at trying to make sure they don't screw up when they get into the new land. In the verses we looked at this morning in chapter 26, Moses reminds the people of God's faithfulness in rescuing them from the tyranny of the Egyptians and bringing them to a land of plenty, which is to be their home. They are to show their gratitude for this by taking a portion of their first crops, taking them to the priest to be offered to God in thanks for what he has done. And the central message of this passage is to remember the source of all that is good in the world and to give thanks. It's about thankfulness for our blessings. And our celebrations at harvest today are our reminder to take time at least once a year to make a conscious effort to thank God for the gifts of food and drink, which most of the time we take for granted, and to celebrate God's generosity to us. Now, I probably don't need to remind you that most of us in this country have an amazing range of foods we can choose and lovely things to drink. But how often do we think how blessed we are and what each of these wonderful foodstuffs is? It's an absolute miracle. My granddaughter will laugh when I say it's a small miracle because she knows I say that about cake making. But I think every mouthful of food is a miracle. And I suspect that those of us who are very separated from the land and the basics of the production really take things too much for granted. Want a fig? Open a tin. We forget about the wonder of its development. Now then, I've got some illustrations here from a sapling to these lovely, I don't know if you can see that, it's almost like a little pea. That's a heart-shaped one rather nicely. This little fruit, which develops into a delicious fig. And of course, all of that has started from some little fig seeds. I don't know, shall I try one? Perhaps I ought to share them. Right, well, you can hand them round. Somebody hand them round. I think we forget where all these things come from. And the miracle, really, of these developing from a tiny seed into a lovely fruit like that. And we also forget the care, the hard work that goes into producing food, the people who work so hard to get to our tables the delicious things we eat. I know some of you in the congregation have allotments, and those people who grow their own at home will have a little bit more appreciation of what a miracle all this is. So I think the first thing I'm going to take from this passage is to marvel at the basics of life which God through creation has made available to us, and to think that maybe I should rather more regularly give thanks for this. Is once a year at harvest enough? I'm aware that I don't always remember to give thanks at the beginning or end of every meal. And also, do I really remember not only to thank God for the food I have, but for other simple things like having clean water to drink, having clothes to wear, having a roof over my head? These are things we take for granted. But for many millions of people in the world, this is just something they dream for. So my lesson is that I'm going to make sure, and I suggest you do, that I make a daily habit of thanking God for the ordinary things, for the basic good things of life. I think most of us are very good at thanking God when something exceptional happens to us. But I wonder if you, like me, fail to give regular thanks for the ordinary. And I have to say, when I do remember this, it's wonderfully grounding. If you, at the beginning of the day, you just say, thank you, God, that I've woken up, I've had a nice breakfast, I live in a peaceful country. When you do remember the blessing of the ordinary, it's a wonderful way of grounding you for the rest of the day. But the other thing we read about in Deuteronomy is about making offerings to God. And I wonder how we make tangible thank offerings. We don't, as the custom in biblical times was, bring them to the altar to be consumed by the priests or burnt as sacrifices. But we can offer gifts to God by sharing what we have with others to help build his kingdom on earth. There's a little bit more about this in chapter 26, if you read on beyond the passage Geoffrey read. Moses instructs the Hebrews to give a tenth of their produce when they enter the new land, their first crops, to the Levite, the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. From this and a number of similar passages in the Bible, we derive the Christian habit, discipline, of tithing, of giving a tenth of what we have to be used for God's work. One way we encourage this at St. Stephen's is by a commitment to regular financial giving to support the work of the church. And in turn, St. Stephen's very faithfully gives away a tenth of its income to mission partners. Now, somewhere, in case you're not aware, here's a new leaflet about the mission partners we support. And we do faithfully use a tenth of St. Stephen's money to help lots of other people who are disadvantaged. If you haven't seen that leaflet, do read it. But we can give in other ways, can't we? By giving money to charities, by giving clothes to charities, by giving our gifts of time. And today we have this special opportunity to share food gifts with Ealing Food Bank. It does the most amazing work. I don't know if you've read any of the statistics, but in the last year, Ealing Food Bank gave meals to feed people for 3 days of the week to 4,000 people. They were given emergency supplies by the food bank. And I gather from Sue that the demand is growing. So we really do need to give generously to people who are desperate. And we hope that you'll be able to give generously. You've begun to already. Thank you for that. Either in cash or in kind to help these people. And remember, this isn't just a one-off. There is a collection box in church all through the year so that people can donate goods to the food bank. So, as well as giving thanks, another message we take home from this parish is to be generous as God has been generous to us, to give things to others, to bless them. We don't have to be super rich to do this. We know how God values even small gifts. Do you remember the story of the widow's mite? She gave out of her poverty, and God really valued that. Maybe this is a time to review what we give, to just think about our charitable donations, how we use our time, our blessings, our talents. Now, there's a third thing which is not explicit in this parish, but in this passage we've read, but I think it's implicit. In honouring God for these gifts, we have a duty to cherish and protect what he's done for us in creation. If someone gives you a present, you don't, unless you're very rude, throw it away or do your best to damage it. Sadly, that is what we, whether intentionally or not, are doing to God's creation. And creation is good. This is what is stressed over and over again in the book of Genesis. God saw it and it was good. However you interpret the creation narratives, we need to recognize the important truths they convey, that God is behind creation of the world and that it is good. The world is not evil, as people sometimes suggest. We just happen to mess it up. Our mission as Christians must include creation care. If we fail in this, we dishonor God and seriously harm our fellow human beings, both those who live on the planet today and the generations to come. As it's often said, we should not inhabit the world as property or landlords, but on a full tenants, on a full repairing lease. And so we've done something at St. Stephen's this year to help us. I think we're not bad at creation care, but we could do a whole lot more. And we've registered the church in the eco-congregation scheme. Everyone should have had a leaflet about this. Do read it. It's a national scheme to help churches and their congregations be more intentional about creation care. And this scheme we're now launching officially to the congregation today. It's been agreed with the PCC. People and Planet have been working on it. But we want everyone to be involved because it's something in which everyone, man, woman, child, little child, medium-sized child, adult, old person, we can all take a part. And our aim is to achieve the first standard of award in eco-congregation in our anniversary year next year. That's the bronze standard. So, after this service, Sue Charlton and I will be manning a stand there, which is going to tell you about eco-congregation. And one of the things you may be asked to do, so you can all join in, is make little bug hotels. Somebody said to me at the beginning of the service, what's attractive about a bug hotel? Well, I'll tell you later. But there's something everyone can do, and we just want to encourage you all to join in caring for creation. So just to summarise what I've been saying, I think there are three action points we can take from Deuteronomy, from this reading. Remember daily to give thanks for the ordinary. Remember to show our gratitude for what we have by sharing, especially with the needy, and reviewing what we give. And finally, honouring God by being more committed to creation care. Get involved in Eco Church and lots of other things. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the good things you have given us. Forgive us when we fail to be grateful and when we damage your creation. Through your Holy Spirit, guide and strengthen us to be generous to others as you have been generous to us. Amen.